Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. I'm here with my co-host, Burl Love, as we get ready for the long Labor Day weekend. We thought that we would have a fun guest this week. We're welcoming Michelle Jones to the podcast studio. You might know her from Instagram and Facebook as Hey Michelle, because that's what we all call her, but that is also her handle. And she's really a purveyor of all things fun. It sounds like a good job to me.
I would say, Cincinnati isn't really flooded with influencers, but she's one of them.
It's very true. We have some food influencers that stick to food, but Michelle, she runs the gamut, fashion, food, where's the latest, nightclub to go to, businesses. And so
we'll learn do you become an influencer? Because everybody thinks it's easy.
It is not.
But it's a full-time gig, I think, just to do it right. So
I know she does do it full-time these days, as I know her. But it's not like I've asked her the detailed kind of questions I do as a reporter. So this is what we're here for today.
It's a funny term, influencer, because actually there's lots of influencers in town. There's like 9 of them sitting on Cincinnati City Council. How influential are they?
Well, I think that they're pretty influential considering we have a council race coming up and the least amount of candidates in 32 years. That's like the last, data available, available.
That's why I posed the question that way, because as you said, we have a city council race coming up. And in the past, there have been a lot of candidates running for these positions, 9 seats on city council. And we only have 11.
11.
Counting the 9 incumbents. So only 2 people in the entire city are going to mount a challenge on this current roster of city council candidates.
Well, one of them has garnered the all-powerful Democratic endorsement. So that was easy. Her name is Anna Albee. She's a Madisonville Community Council member. And she's also, an anti-violence gun activist. And she's kind of really what's out there about her, that she really works for like sensible gun laws kind of thing. But when we had breakfast together, and it was, I have to say, the kind of breakfast where it kind of went like 2 hours and we could have kept talking. I liked her a lot, but I was intrigued by the idea that she's coming from the community councils. The community councils in Cincinnati are so important. They're very grassroots organizations. They're people who care about their neighborhoods. This is a city of neighborhoods. And so I was kind of intrigued that she's coming from that. She's going to have that perspective of what a neighborhood thinks and wants from their city council. So she's an interesting candidate, and she does have that Democratic endorsement, which is always it's become more and more powerful. It always is. But with reproductive rights on the ballot in November, I think a lot of Democrats are going to come out and vote, and they might not know the names of all of these council members. And they might be like, where's that blue slate? Someone show that to me. And so I think it's going to be very important this year. But the other person who is running that we don't know is Audrisha Brooks. And I did have the pleasure of speaking to her on the telephone. She lives in North Avondale. She's a retired federal employee. She worked for the VA, and you can't work for the federal government and run for council. And so she never has really been involved before.
So since she's retired from her government job,
yes,
now she's, ready to become
She loves Cincinnati. Cincinnati has always been in her heart and what's best for the city. And so she is going to do it. And you know what? You need 500 signatures to run for Cincinnati City Council. And that does on its face seem easy, but ask even like the candidates that we know from the past 2 years, how many signatures they got. Some of them got 900 signatures, and we got the 500 valid ones. It's very hard. You can't print your name. So
what do you mean you can't? So if someone is collecting signatures, you actually cannot. What if your signature is printed? Many people have.
That occurred to me as with having a child that doesn't write in cursive. Are we at that tipping? Because he's not obviously a voting age yet, but are we at that tipping?
Yeah, we don't teach cursive anymore.
I know. So are we at that tipping point? But so Ricardo Haywood is, he tried to run for council. He's mentioned in the story that I wrote about this, but he did not end up getting the valid signatures. 300 of them were printed names. They don't count.
Don't count. That's too bad. So let's do some math. You ready?
Even I can do this kind of math, I think. Okay.
So there is one seat on Cincinnati City Council that's held by a Republican.
Liz Keating.
So is the fact that the Democratic Party only endorsed one candidate in this race when they have two running because they're just going after one seat?
Oh, no, the Democrats, nine. So the current eight.
Plus
Anna.
Right.
So
okay.
Just.
But that's what I mean. That's,
I mean,
the
their
math.
Vote for nine, and some people say vote for five.
Yeah.
To make your vote even more powerful. Like right. The people you really want, like vote for five. This is a big thing in field races, like how this kind of all works with getting, you know, and I think the Republicans are really probably coming out with vote for one. And the Charter Committee, too, just endorsed Liz Keating today. And they said they might endorse some other candidates, but we got a big fat might in the press release today. So they're kind of, here's one.
So how would you rate Keating's chances of holding her seat in a city that's been blue, in a county that's shifting more blue? Is she a lock, or
she is not,
or
a lock.
Is the vote the straight party ticket what she has to overcome?
She has to overcome this. She does have name ID because of who her father and her grandfather was. She's able to raise money. And I think she's really well-liked. I mean, yes, she's a Republican, but there's no other way to describe her except a very moderate Republican. Mm-hmm. And so I think
I would say she is, since she's been elected, she has tackled things that I would say are very practical in
child care. She looks at things from a very, you know what? She, first of all, she jumped in and is a lifeguard. I love this about her. And when I talked to her, because we need lifeguards in the city, and she was a big swimmer in college and she could be a lifeguard. And so she does it in her free time in the summer. But she's gotten to know our children and worked at different city pools and gotten to know different neighborhoods. And that's what we talk about. Like, that's like our opening, you know, kind of conversation. When I'm like, oh, I have a question for you, Liz, about this story or that story. Like, she was just at this pool or that pool, and what happened there that day? And I find that very intriguing. I like that. But she's not a lock.
Not a lock. But let's say she is reelected.
Okay.
And let's say that Anna Albee.
Here we go. I'm going to get in trouble. Go ahead.
I know. I'm going to put you on the spot. That she, you know, she's got the endorsement, fresh face, new ideas. You already talked about some of the things that she's running on. Who among the Democrats currently on council are the most vulnerable, do you
this
think?
This is honestly, we were dealing with 35 candidates the last council race 2 years ago. After 4 years of council last time, now we're going to go back to 2 year terms, and there was 35 people, and it was like I was juggling like a lot of balls. Plus, we had a mayoral race, and so that kind of was like, well, who's going to get on? And that was like, you know, like a whole, that was a whole field race. But this is, people are like, what's that ninth spot look like? Does Liz get it? Does Anna get it? Seth Walsh was appointed, so he's not been elected before. So people kind of look at that. And then, you know, there's some people that say, you know, did some people not do enough? And people kind of have noticed that. So this is the biggest guessing game for anyone who's like a City Hall political watcher.
It's been a more quiet council than we're used to in recent years.
Yes. And they,
I mean, no federal indictments.
Well, thank goodness, because I'm busy with the old ones still.
No gang of whatever text messaging scandals. No, like, you know, flare-ups on social media. Chris Seelbach. I mean, there's just like,
I appreciate
this
that
has been a, yeah,
about this group of people. But, I have to tell
but
you,
but they haven't built up much name recognition, except for a few of them.
And really, what are the big things that we're going to say that they've done at the end of this 2 years? They were getting their feet wet. I'm going to give them that. There was a lot, like for 6 months, guys, there was a huge grace period of like, how do things work, period, at City mm-hmm, Hall.
Right.
You have to learn. Things move very, very fast at City Hall. We didn't have our permanent city manager at that point. It was right. We were off to a little bit of a slow start there.
But even some of the things that happened that past councils might have been intertwined with, or at least grandstanded over. You know, you had the Cincinnati fire chief, Michael Washington, losing his job. I mean, in the past,
nary a mention.
In the past, those kind of things would have, you know, brought out the personalities of city council, yes, for lack of, and they were just kind of very quiet. They let the city manager do her thing.
I have, not just because I'm a reporter, I do like to hear from my elected officials. The city government is, you know, the mayor's political, city council controls the money, and the city manager is, you know, she runs the day to day. That is a very big job.
She runs the city.
She runs the city. I do like to hear what my elected officials have to say on things. And that has just been a little bit short supply, unless we're really asking the questions. We had to go to them and say, what do you think of the selling the railroad? We had to go to them, what do you think about the streetcar? We just don't hear like a lot of initiative things that would be telling about their personality, so we really can get to know them.
And I'm not saying that's bad, because they have, you know, they have been working. It's just in a much more quiet, okay, Sari made a face, everybody, you can't see on the podcast, oh, no. But
I have to go over there next week, Pearl. But this is, I mean,
they show up to work.
That is 100%. Yeah, yes.
They are present, you know, they're casting their votes. They are, you know, they all have committee assignments, you know.
I have had some of the council members from time to time be like, I've been to every meeting. I'm like, I only cared about that because some people were skipping like 10, 12 meetings a year.
Well, that's what I
mean.
I was
like, people are allowed to be sick, or they're allowed to go on vacation. I don't mind if people, I do those things. I don't mind if they don't show up for like those kind of reasons. But once, I only wrote about that all the time because it was so egregious.
Isn't it funny?
It is a very different council than we've had.
A very different council. Okay. Well,
similar.
Is it special guest time?
Yes, it is.
All right.
Let's have some fun. Special guest time here on That's So Cincinnati. Heading into Labor Day weekend, we thought we'd have a little bit of fun. And if you want to have fun in Cincinnati, other than going to things to do on Cincinnati.com, there's only one person to do that with, and it's Hey Michelle. Hey, aww, Michelle.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I love it.
So your first name is Hey?
I know, right?
And your
catchy
last name is Michelle?
It's Michelle. Uh-huh.
I know.
It's turned into that, which is great.
It's like a brand.
I know.
But we're jumping ahead. Sorry, Sherry.
We are. That's okay.
Sorry.
That is okay. You know what? I thought more than just like talking about things to do, you really have become a very prominent influencer in Cincinnati about the things to do. And you have so many followers. And I just kind of wanted to talk about how you grew that platform and got into it and let people, you know, kind of see the other side of social media. I know it's not as easy as it looks.
No, it is not. Yeah, people always say, I want to do what you do. And I'm like, well, are you ready for the hours it takes to do
it? It really does. You guys, I made my first TikTok for the Inquirer's account like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, oh, well, that'll be like 30 seconds. And it actually takes longer than that.
It's
apparently, it only lasts 30 seconds.
Uh-huh. But it takes a lot of time to make that. Yes.
So talk to me a little bit about when you decided to start doing this. What year was it?
So it was about, I guess now, 8 years ago almost. And it started organically. It just started because I would put on Facebook, you know, where I was eating or where I was buying a dress or where I got my haircut. And so then it became on like closer to the weekends, I would get all these texts and it always started, Hey, Michelle, we have people coming in from California. Where should we take them to impress them? Or Hey, Michelle, where do your boys get their haircut? Hey, Michelle, where should I get a dress for a wedding? And I was answering all these questions all the time. And somebody said, you should start a blog. And I said, well, that's cool. What's that?
Yeah, well, 8 years ago, blogs were the thing.
Right? And I was like, well, how do you even find them? I don't get it. So I did. I started that. And I did, you know, loving on local is my thing. I just love to support local. We have so many great people doing fantastic things. And I just love to see people thrive with their passion. And so I just started picking local businesses and asking to go talk to them. So I'd go meet the owners or whoever, and I would pop in. And then I would do like a once a week email on my website and send it out to an email list. And then eventually Instagram came along and that kind of took over. So now it's obviously more.
Did you do Instagram first or Facebook?
Facebook. So website, then Facebook.
Okay. Yes. How did you decide to call it Hey Michelle?
Well, oh, yeah. Because it always, literally all those texts always started Hey Michelle. Always. I mean, it's just funny and it still does. And then people are like, oh, I see what I did there. I'm like, that's kind of how it started.
That's how I think I started my text to you about appearing on That So Cincinnati.
It's just the norm. So it fits. It's very great. I love it.
How much, I mean, is it your job?
I mean, it is my job. I do run social media for a group. So like five of their businesses, restaurants, hotel, boutique hotel in town. So I do all of that. So it's a lot of on phone time. Seriously. So your job never leaves you because you always have your phone on you.
I'm familiar with this.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So it's what, you know, you just are always checking to see if anybody's commenting or whatever. So you can be on and make sure you're interacting and all those things. Right. Yeah.
So for yourself, would you say, I mean, do you work like during the day? Is it
it's all the time, day and night. And because I run social media also for bars and hotel and restaurant for somebody else, then that's night and like, you know, keeping it going. And then for mine, I do a lot of restaurants. So that's evenings or, you know, it's driving to wherever, you know, I was at Lori's Roadhouse, you know, this week or last week. So I'm driving everywhere, you know, Western Southern, you know, like all the things you do to get content to then come home and then go through everything and make it worthy for somebody to look at. Right.
So how many nights are you like, I'm doing air quotes, working?
I know.
Because it is a lot to be able, I mean, to so that you're knowledgeable and you can write about it and you can respond when people say, hey, Michelle, you've actually had to experience it. So do you like, is it a schedule? Do you tell yourself, okay, to stay on top of it, what's going on in Cincinnati, I have to be out how many nights a week?
Almost every night. I mean, truly, it is almost every night.
I see you out a lot.
It really is. And even, yes. And then you're, you know, then you see something going on. When I'm not invited to something or going to a scheduled event, then if I see something fun going on, I'm like, oh my gosh, I kind of want to share this with everybody. Then I feel like I should be there sharing it. So it is. I mean, yes, I eat, drink, and have fun for a living. But it's fantastic. But it is a ton of work.
Yeah. And does it feel like work or does it still feel fun?
You know, sometimes you're like, oh. My couch. This is fun. There's a TV on my wall. This is cool. But it is work, but it is fun. And it's great when you run into people and they say, hey, Michelle, oh my gosh, I follow you. And you're like, oh, you know, they're like, oh, is that weird? And I said, no, because it makes me feel like I do it for a reason. Like you're actually looking at it. And I love that.
Yeah. So we like to talk about sometimes like where are the hot spots or the hot neighborhoods and I can't keep track of it now.
I know, right?
Like, I remember when Mount Adams was the place to be.
Right.
So I have to say something about Mount Adams.
Okay, bring it.
I went to Mount Adams on Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
And there was no one there.
I know. Well, yeah, the bars are kind of gone.
I have to say, it was, I think, early for what many people consider going out, but it was like 11:30. It wasn't like 8 o'clock.
Interesting. Yes. It isn't so, how it was back in our day.
And it also breaks down like, you know, like this is the hot place for 20-somethings. Yes. This is the hot place for like, you know, the 30s and 40s kind of thing. So where are the hot spots right now?
For bars?
Yeah.
I mean, bars.
Yeah. If you're gonna meet some friends and you want to hit a few bars.
I think it's spread out. I really do. You know, and I think that's
what I observe. There's not like one
there isn't.
Like, place where... It's just a
Which is
foregone
great.
Conclusion. Yeah,
because
I agree.
There's options now. It's not like, oh, there's going to be a line, you know, or whatever. I think there's so many great places to go grab drinks. Dance club-wise, that's where I think somebody needs to open something fun.
Okay.
I'm like,
Michelle and I are starting a petition right now that we need a dance club.
Yes. I mean, we have like Igby's is great, but you know, there's no like when it's your birthday or bachelorette or something like that, everybody's always like, where do we go dancing? I'm like, there's really... That is where we're kind of missing it. So you have to start a dance floor at a bar, I guess. But there are great places around town. I think Frankie's is always a go-to for me, which is, you know, Garfield. That is
that's
a great.
Newish, wouldn't you say? That's
been
newish.
Like a year or so. But I mean, the owners are always there. It's so fun. And you feel like you're part of the family. Super great. I mean, Covington is hopping now. It's such a good place. I mean, Covington, walk, walk, walk. It's great.
Yeah.
It is great. I mean, it has everything you want. Like Knowledge Bar and Hotel Covington is so fun to go to cocktail. Second Story is eclectic, or you know, or even, and then you've got Braxton, mm-hmm. and you've got the Rooftop, and even Main Strauss. I mean, it's fun to have so many options. Juniper and you know, it's just all different kinds of vibes for sure. Even, you know, you got Terrace Park and all the other areas of town that are starting to get their own vibe and bars and or little restaurants that are so fun.
I actually noticed that Terrace Park, a lot of restaurants like mm-hmm. out there.
And Milford, like, Milford and Terrace Park.
It seems like there's something.
Yes.
And I was in Milford on Friday night and there were just people walking around downtown mm-hmm. and like from place to place. And there was a Rooftop bar. And, Milford was adorable.
And they have the bike trail. So that, you know, it's just fun.
There'll be no lack of things to talk about, Burl, at the end of the podcast this week. Because I actually did go out over the weekend.
I love it.
So dance club. I'm doing the list of like things Cincinnati
that
needs
we need.
Right now. Yeah.
Yes.
What else?
And dance clubs can, that's where you separate age because each other, then they're, you know, if you walk in and it's all younger, they're like, oh, what are you guys doing here?
You know, but like, you know, yeah. I'm thinking that Rico Grant's club might fill a little bit of a void there. I think it's called Love.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Fourth and Race.
Uh-huh. I saw some.
I'm wondering if that, because it's going to have bottle service, which is also something that there's mm-hmm. not a lot of in Cincinnati. Like
right.
if you go to Cleveland and you go mm-hmm. to the flats and their yeah. whole resurgence, you see like the athletes out yep. and they're at bottle service dance club.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you can go from dance club to dance club. And that is not our vibe. And we don't have to be that.
Right.
But I'm with you. Like just one.
I know. You just need one. Everybody likes to dance. You know, yeah. Yes.
So we have struggled there. Gala mm-hmm. Park, fill yeah, that need for a little bit. And
well, there's the one that's across from the old Birdcage. Starts with a T. And it's kind of clubby.
Okay. This is new.
But I think
it's new, right?
But I think it's younger.
It.
Yes. It is a little, yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll go check it out. How about that?
Yeah.
We'll give our.
So okay. we could probably like swap a few sports bars. Mm-hmm. Because I think we're over-indexing on sports
bars.
We do. Bars.
But we have so much sports.
I know.
But yeah, for once, we have a reason to have sports bars. Come on. I mean, this yeah. is fantastic, right? Planning last week to where we were going to go Wednesday to watch the FC.
I don't know what's FCC next for game. Sports bars because they were all sort of in the race to see who could have the most TV monitors and
yes.
the biggest ones.
Yes.
And now, you know, if you have wall size, so unless they actually like, you know, put a drive-in theater size screen outside.
And
I don't know what's like next for them.
Andrew right. Salzburn promised something new at the Reds.
Okay.
At the BetMGM.
Oh, yeah,
the
right.
The name is so long, it is escaping
book,
yes. me
yes.
at the moment. The sports book
this,
there
yes.
where Gala Park was.
Yep.
And he promised something like new and different.
Well, that's
so.
Going to be Nation.
Yes.
Nation's going into... To the old
has a much longer
mm-hmm.
name than that.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because it's like Reds Nation. And uh-huh. I guess I can't make up the name for
no,
it, though.
Right.
So when you started to get some momentum, mm-hmm. like, was there a period where you were really struggling trying to, you know, find out what was going on before it just started flooding your way? Or was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yes. Well, first of all, Cincinnati was a little behind on realizing, I think, what, I don't know, influencers or bloggers. I want to say... I'm just an ambassador for Cincinnati. I wish that could be a name other than blogger or influencer. I just love it on Cincy. People didn't realize that we are promoting them. So it's my time and everything is worth an advertising. You know, the world, I'm an advertiser. So, you know, it took a little bit for them to understand having me or other influencers there was beneficial. So it did take a little bit. Now, then once that kind of picked up and people got that, oh, like they're saving a couple restaurants from going out of business, you know, in a couple of days with a plea, like they might close their doors. We need to help them out kind of thing. So that kind of, after that happened a couple of times, then it's great. Cause then you're invited to the soft open and get the message out really. Which was kind of fun.
And now you're getting recognized in public.
I know. People take selfies with me. It's
oh,
so cute.
So I have a
I know.
So
it's funny. I take selfies with you.
I know, but I
just
love
friends.
It. At the Pink concert, I had like three people stop to take a selfie. I was cracking up. I mean, I'm like, I love this.
So here's where my Michelle story comes into play.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Favorite thing, apparently. I didn't know
selfies.
Until
yeah.
we walked in here that Michelle and Burl know
so,
each other.
So when I saw your rise to fame, I was like, and we hadn't met. Although we had.
Yeah,
and
right?
I was like, why is she so familiar to me? I'm trying to figure it out. And then I was cleaning out a closet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we both went to UC.
Yes.
Both went to UC. And I was editor of the News Record. And I had a box of like news record memorabilia, some papers I saved and everything. And I had saved, we decided for some reason we needed to do a fashion publication.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I read fashion publications, so that seems like a good idea.
It was probably my roommate's idea, who was also the photo editor and chief photographer, because he wanted to meet pretty women. So he decided we should do a fashion magazine. And the business manager was like, oh, I love that idea. Let's do it. So we scheduled it and everything. And it was pretty popular. It was like filled with ads and everything. And I had saved the premiere edition. We called it Panorama. And I picked it up. And Michelle, there was your face.
Was she on the cover?
On the cover. Yeah. She was the cover girl. I totally forgot to do that.
I was going
to
bring it. I have one somewhere. Yeah.
So I was like, need to see that. I was like, oh, that's why she's so familiar. Uh-huh. She was the cover girl of Panorama.
Did you meet Burl then?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hanging around. Burl?
I do. I remember him, and I remember his friend.
I was the editor of the news record. Yeah, okay. I was like,
I know. That's the big deal.
Not big man on campus, like medium man. Yeah. But anyway, so I kept that back in my mind. Like, okay, I'm going to run into her eventually. I'm going to like say, do you remember this? Do you remember when we were both at UC at the same time?
I did it twice.
So this past Christmas, Lauren's sister is in town and we're having dinner at Ruby's. And this is after they were in the new space. And so my wife's sister, who now lives in Florida, follows you just to keep up with what's going on. So we're sitting there. And I'm oblivious. I'm just having, you know, a cocktail talking to my brother-in-law. And Lauren and her sister start like getting giddy and they're like whispering to each other and everything. And like, they're like, I think that's her. Oh my God, is that really her? I think that's her. And I'm like, who? And they're like, hey, Michelle. And I was just like, hold up a minute. Like they were too shy to even come up to you.
It's so funny.
And so, you know me, I just walk up.
Lauren was shy?
And I was like, Michelle, do you remember? And she's like, oh my God, yeah. So of course we have this little, you know, we have this little reunion of sorts. And all of a sudden, like my stature in the family rose.
Jeez. Oh, gosh.
Because I knew, hey, Michelle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so she came to the table. They took selfies. Oh, yeah. It was like a big
Lauren
night.
Lauren is the best. She's so fun.
Oh, she was very sweet.
I mean, Ruby himself walked by and nobody really cared. But when, hey, Michelle popped by. So, yeah.
Oh, boy. Bigger than Jeff.
So, yeah, that's my hey, Michelle story. That's when I realized. You had made it.
Like, you go.
Not only
when
you
won over your wife.
Also, you're the editor of the entire house.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So you kind of both stayed on your path.
Oh, there you go.
Isn't that funny? Uh-huh.
That's hilarious. Yes.
So my obvious follow up is like, did that launch a brief modeling career
for
you?
In bathing suit. I did one in a bathing suit.
Oh,
that
my gosh.
That was an embarrassing one later. After you do things and you're like, oh, and at the time I was dating a beta and I remember all his fraternity brothers wallpapered one of the walls that on his way of all of my picture. And I was like, oh, geez, I'm so sorry.
Oh, college boys.
I know. Girl, were you in a fraternity?
No.
You were not.
I was not. People would say, are you Greek? Meaning, are you in a fraternity? And I would be like,
Yes, I am.
Well, where did you pledge? I'm like, not that kind
of. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yes.
Funny. So no, it did not. I have done a little modeling here and there. And I do a lot of fashion stuff for Cincinnati store.
That's
so
like
that's
my
kind
favorite
of fun.
Part because there isn't a fashion publication, really. And so that is, the Enquirer's had some iterations of things aimed at fashion. Mm-hmm. Nothing is really sticking at the moment. And I like my fashion content.
There you go. Yes.
I follow along for that.
Fun.
So when did that occur? Like how long into the journey did it take for you to like be firmly established? Because so many people have tried to be influencers, to be a presence on social media. And everyone thinks that, you know, they can do it, but you actually pulled it off. Like, what?
It's sticking
it
with it. That's hard, right? I mean, it's just keep going, even though it wasn't really, I mean, I wasn't getting paid or anything. I was doing it seriously out of the goodness of my heart because I just loved the people. I would go do random things and I would meet these people that quit their jobs from Procter & Gamble to open a chocolate store or something. And you're like, you know, I'm going and I'm like, okay, what's this going to be about? And then I leave and I'm like, best friends, you know, or the, you know, the mom and them coffee shop guys. They called me and they're like, will you come do a story on us? When they had their barbershop on Garfield across from where Frankie's is now. And they're like, we're opening a barbershop in our grandpa's old barbershop. We're going to have coffee in front. That's how they started.
I went and met them, the Ferrari brothers.
And I mean, I had my actual camera because that's what I still did then. I always use my camera. And did their story. But I'm like, people really don't even know that's how they even started. But it was people calling me and I'm like, what is this going to be? Well, then we've been buds ever since, right? But that didn't even last very long, the barbershop coffee shop. But it took just keep going and doing that. And then it's been in the last 3 years that really, I think Instagram has really pulled in our area, the popularity of following people to see what's going on. And it doesn't even really matter the number of followers. It's really the interaction and who follows through. I mean, the younger bloggers for sure get more likes because kids want to like everything or younger. My following is my age. They don't even want people to know they're on social media. So they don't even like or comment. But I can see, you know, some, you're like, it's just funny.
This is true. At the I like live tweeted a lot of the PG Sittenfeld trial.
Uh-huh.
And I got okay likes. But for the amount of people who are like, I followed every
exactly.
And I was like, but you didn't like it or anything. And they're like, oh, we would never do that.
I know. That's exactly right. That's
they didn't want people same. To know because you can see.
People say, oh my gosh, we totally went here because of you. Or we had the, you know, glamping in our backyard
oh, that
for
was
a birthday.
Good post.
But
yeah.
And I'm like, well, you didn't even like tell me. And they're like, well, we told them we did it because of you. I'm like, okay, well, I guess that counts.
That does count.
Yes.
What has been your most popular post? What's the thing that you've done that's like the most popular?
Oh, geez. You know, it's so funny when you do little old places, Coach's Corner in Newport. I mean, it is Midge is the owner, her husband. I call him Billy Joel. That's not his name, but he looks like him. He's cooking.
Young
she's
Billy
behind
Joel
the bar.
Or like now Billy Joel?
Well, younger than now. Yes.
I saw,
and he's a musician, so he always has a guitar in the corner.
I saw a meme where, you know, the famous scene in Star Wars where Luke takes off Darth Vader's helmet to reveal
his
bald old dad.
Yes.
The meme is the same scene, but they lift the helmet and it's Billy Joel.
Oh, that's so funny.
He does look like old Anakin Skywalker
now.
Oh,
my gosh, that's funny.
Yes. So he looks like old Billy Joel?
He looks, no, he,
medium
looks, like
Billy
a, he
Joel?
Looks like a good Billy Joel.
Okay.
Don't get
all
her
right.
in trouble.
Good Billy Joel.
I'm
he
not,
does.
I'm not.
But it's those little places that you think, do people like know about this? And then everybody comments. And when I did that, I mean, they're a burger joint and they make more Jägerbomb drinks than I've ever seen. That's like so popular. The whole fridge full of Jäger that they go through at night. It's crazy. But anyway, when I did that, it was so funny to see how many people like, you've got to go during Lent for Fridays. You've got to try their salads. You've got to try this. And I'm like, okay, this is the interaction is just funny with some that you're like, oh my gosh, the sharing or whatever that goes on. It just is sometimes a surprising one. You're like, oh, this is going to be the winner. And then you're like, oh, that was kind of sleepy.
Dan Horn and Randy Tucker taught me about Jaeger bombs.
Oh, there you go.
Even though I went to college at a Mac school.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Never. Yes.
We don't believe him.
And they do creamsicle ones there too, which are really good at Coach's, but yes.
Do they have the Jaeger fountain? That's the best.
Oh,
it's
no.
Basically like Jaeger on tap, but
on
it comes
tap.
Out of a little tube. And
right.
Yeah.
No, they
that
do it. They do it old school.
Scary. I feel like, to be honest, I feel like Lent might be a busy time for you because there's so much going on,
you know,
in Lent and Cincinnati and all the
town.
Events.
Yes, between that and St. Patrick's Day.
Yep.
Yes, those are biggies around here for sure. Yeah.
What would you say are the untypical, not untypical, but the unusual suspects when it comes to fun places around town, you know? The ones that aren't so obvious, hidden gems, things that surprised you.
So I love Little Uncle Leo's in near Findlay Market. I changed Uncle Leo's. They have one of the funniest Instagrams. So even just following along. And it's just a, you know, you want to say a hole in the wall, but a good place. There's this new Binsky that opened. Where are they? Where? That's over kind of by Mominum. Over the way by
Camp Washington.
That's a
and
great
that's
name,
a cute little
way.
New place. And you know what's help? What these places are doing that I think is fantastic is they're doing all these pop ups with chefs, like really good chefs, and that is super fun. And I, you know, Wild Weed and I'm trying to think of all the pop ups now that I can't think of, but they are doing just these great. I mean, you go in the back of their backyard of these little bars and hear these chefs that you used to pay, you know, whatever to go to restaurants. And you're like, oh my gosh, they're back here making these sandwiches or the whatever. And I think that brings so much life to these little places. And it's so fun to search them out and see where they're going to be and when. And that makes everything kind
and
of fun.
And it's a
different
too. Kind of experience.
Yeah.
And then you do
yes.
it and you can do a different one another time. It's not
exactly.
always the same.
Right. So that's kind of fun. And then we're doing a lot of these little food halls, you know, like Factory 52, and they're gather all, you know, that's cool. I mean, with so much ethnicity too. I mean, we're, you know, Cincinnati, you know, used to be like, what? Uh-huh. What's that? But I mean, we have it. We have so much going on now. Like the new restaurant that just opened, Gabriella, that's Filipino. And I mean, how great is that? And awesome and cool. And Asian dish, Asian places, and, you know, Mediterranean and Hispanic. I mean, it's just so good to have authentic, good food. And that's why I say our food scene gets better every day. And there's so many great people at these restaurants. It's amazing.
The pop-up concept, the food hall concept, is exciting too, because it gives people a way to test the concept.
Exactly.
Figure out if there's a market for it. Mm-hmm. Learn how to, you know, to take it from the kitchen to feeding the public without the risk of like opening a place of your own.
Absolutely.
And all the financing
involved
with it.
At the corner of the foundry, right downtown. Yeah. Uh-huh. There's mid ways to do that.
Right. Like even like little Court Street is, you know, has new stuff going on, which is great. Kayla from Arnold's, the old chef from Arnold's. Now she's doing burgers on Friday with Arrow Meats. I mean, and
tell me more about that.
I know. I don't know this.
I did. Okay. On Friday I went. I can't even tell you. It's a double decker hamburger. And I met somebody walking on the river, and I told him about it. I saw him and his friend there. They're opening a restaurant soon in Newport on the Levee. They're doing a new food court. So I started talking to them. Then I run into him there. These burgers that Kayla is doing.
At the butcher?
At the butcher, the little right next to it, where it's like 120 degrees in there. I don't know how she survives. But they are juicy and amazing. I always say a burger has to be worth the calories, and holy night, that's worth the calories.
I know, Michelle goes out every night, and she's very tiny, you guys.
It's so good.
I have not really been to that part of Court Street since it sort of came alive.
Mid-City,
again.
Hawker, all these new, Mid-City, that's such good stuff, and he has such different things on the menu, and you kind of read it, and you're like, what is that? And then you're like, I have to try it, and you try it, and you're like, okay, I do get the peanut butter on your whatever you put it on. I mean, I would have never thought of that.
Butter,
I'm like, what was that? And it's so good.
No, yes. Court Street is his own destination now.
Well, it's becoming just a great midpoint between downtown and OTR, because that was kind of like a missing link, you know?
Steve Lieber has plans. Mm-hmm. He knows.
No, he does.
All the connections.
Of course, yes.
There's a lot of connections.
Yeah. So do you ever read about something or see something from another platform or media outlet that you didn't know about, and you're like, how did I not know about this?
Oh, yeah. And you know, and the blogger team, or, you know, the girls that are out there, I say girls, there are some guys also. We'll usually, like, I just went somewhere. Did I go? Oh, I went to the revolving sushi restaurant that's out in Harper's Station. Hilarious. Funny.
I've been waiting
for that since I saw it in Chicago, but I hadn't been.
Harper Station?
And Harper, you know, out in Harper's Point. Yeah, they call it Harper Station
north,
now, I guess.
On Montgomery Road, kind of like just north.
So I've been out there for three vlogs in the last 2 weeks. How weird is that? And all bing, bing, bing. Wait a minute.
Where? I know there's a Dewey's there.
I did B-dubs.
And the B-dubs.
So I'm doing something for B-dubs.
And I think there's a City Bird there.
I just did that, but I also did Refresh. Wellness.
So where is the revolving
right?
I can't even talk today. I'm so excited about you.
I know.
The revolving sushi restaurant.
It's right by B-dubs, kind of right behind it. That little.
So the restaurant itself isn't revolving. You go in and the sushi moves around.
And the sushi is all going down. And it's driving by. One's a semi. One's kind of like
Is there another place like that in town?
No.
That does that?
I think it's the first revolving. I think, unless I'm wrong, let me know.
There was a place.
Somebody will let me know.
When I was working in D.C. At the Tyson's Galleria, which is kind of like their Kenwood Town Center, except it's like, you know, it's really off the hook. That's it's world class shopping there. They have on the lower level one of those. I wouldn't even say it's revolving. It's like a river of sushi. It just meanders around this beautiful setting.
Oh, funny.
And as it kind of comes by you, you're like, oh, you know, it's just a little plate with, you know, two or three slices of a roll, and you're just like, well, that looks good, and that looks good. And before you know it, they weigh the plates at the end or whatever, and it's like $900 of sushi. How did we? No, not that much.
Well, that's exactly what you do. You just grab it when it goes by, or if you order like ramen, you know, because that could be messy.
Yeah.
It has a robot that brings it to you.
We're gonna check this out. I did not know about this. It's pretty fun.
It is pretty fun. The saving grace. I went with my sisters, and we left, and we're like, okay, there's no alcohol there, so our bill was fantastic. Because I'm like, can you bring alcohol? Oh my gosh, is this what happens when you don't have cocktails? Your bill is decent.
It's you bring alcohol?
No.
Okay.
Or I don't think, no, I didn't see anybody doing that. But all right.
I have a tip for you next time you're up there. And if you tell me you've eaten there, I'm going to be like, dang.
Because
I was trying to have one place that has
bring
money.
It.
So it's, talk about a hole in the wall. It's in the kind of like a strip center, shopping center with a bunch of weird little stores. And it's in the corner. So you can't even really see it from the street, although they have a sign.
Okay.
It's a Mexican restaurant called La Jaiba, which means the crab.
Ooh.
And they have it's authentic. It's a family that operates it. They're really, really sweet. But they do these burritos that are as big as your head.
Love it.
And worth every bite.
Okay. I'm on it.
La Jaiba.
Okay.
All right.
They're
checking
so,
it
they're
out.
Cool
college boys
yeah.
like the
All
burritos
right.
to be large.
Okay. You got
it
me.
I like
not,
it.
It.
I
is,
like a,
so you know,
a moment.
So, you know,
which
we do the
best.
We do the best craft beer here. And now Rasputin, our good friend Rasputin, has unveiled the best burger in Cincinnati.
Oh, we should say. Wait.
Oh,
I
yes.
think next should be the best burrito.
I thought we were in round one of the burger. Are we?
Oh, yeah, he just kicked it off.
Oh, yeah, okay, we'll talk about that at the end. You can tell everyone about that.
Here we're doing programming notes mid-interview. Way to go, Sherry.
You're welcome. It's really
pause for a minute. Okay,
welcome.
We're back now.
I like to mention all my coworkers on the podcast and all the fun things they're doing.
Very good. Yes, you should.
I mean, not everyone
each
has
other.
To cover
That's
City
fantastic.
Hall and, you know, count, yes, up, count
right.
up the council candidates. Other right. people get to pick the best burger or write about food.
So I understand as we kind of are coming up on time here.
Are we?
That this is kind of going to be a what do they call it when two sitcoms cross over and do
a crossover.
Okay. Yeah, we got a crossover thing brewing here, right?
Okay.
Is that right, Sherry?
We are.
Like, you know, Michelle's going to be on the podcast, or she is on the podcast.
She is on the podcast.
And you're going to go be an influencer for a day?
Yes, she's going to, show me the ropes.
We're going to do it. We're going to do a night out.
A night out mm-hmm. with Hey Michelle. We should raffle that off one day. That would be huge.
I think
that
could be really
a
fun.
Hey Michelle
Somebody just asked me if I would do that, actually. I'm going to be in an auction. Somebody's going to put me in an auction.
You know what?
Isn't that funny?
When I was raising money for Real Men Wear Pink, we auctioned off dinner with Keith Pandolfi. And they got into a bidding war, these two people.
Yeah.
So
funny.
You media giants.
Oh, my gosh.
You guys are special.
I was somewhere on Friday night. I was at a gala. And there was John was raffled off. Like, spend the day at the radio station with him. And
yes, which is fun. I've done that. I've been his guest before. He's fun.
Well, that'll be fun.
I do want to ask you, like, what is the landscape of, like, influencers in Cincinnati? Like, do you think it's small still?
I mean, well, I don't even know what to compare it to because I don't know what other cities do. We do have a kind of a group that you'll see the same. You'll know who's going to kind of be there.
So you know the other ones.
Yes. There are others that kind of pop up here and there that I have no idea who they are.
Okay.
I mean, that's great. I mean, the more the merrier, right?
Well, it brings the fun because there's
right,
a lot of people.
Right. I mean, it's a lot to keep up with. It is a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's a good thing.
Right. That's what I said. This city keeps me busy. I mean, it truly does. And I love that Cincy and Northern Kentucky are merging into one big Cincitucky, which I love because, you know, it is all one big area doing fun stuff. Yeah.
The bridge is getting smaller.
I know. I love it.
Just in time for a new
one. You can
swim
across too, according to the swim.
Yep. I don't know if I'm going to do it, but anybody
else?
No,
we're good there.
we'll do the paddle. You know,
yes, paddle fest.
We've done that. We've done that together. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for stopping
by.
Well,
thank you. We could talk about this stuff forever. This could go on and on.
So wasn't this perfect for like ahead of Labor Day? We don't.
I think so.
That serious today.
I think so. And I got to finally tell you my Hey Michelle story.
I love it. We're gonna have to find that this pictures.
Oh, I have. I have.
Okay.
I will give it to you.
If I can squeak in.
There had to be a reason it like lasted.
Right.
Well, we've been out of school about 12 years.
Couple years. Yeah. A few years.
Yeah. About that. Yeah.
No comment. Burl's my boss and I'm friends with Michelle. So there you go, you guys. 12 years.
Something like that for sure. All right. Thanks for having me. Right. This is so fun.
Yes. And actually, she has to like go off and do things. So
I know. Yeah. All good.
All right. Well, I'll see you on the podcast, you guys, and on her Instagram. Yay. Follow her on Instagram. Hey, Michelle, it's so easy to remember. And Facebook. Yep. And there's a website, too. So kind of check there, like, coming up. But it's hard to keep up with social media and the website.
I know. It is a lot. I need an assistant.
Me too.
I have no comment.
You paper people on the no comment.
Aww, thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I have to say, Michelle made me feel like going out and having fun tonight. Instead, I have to probably keep working.
But work is fun for you.
It is. This is actually a true thing.
All right. So, did you have a Cincinnati moment you need to share? That was so Cincinnati. Do you ever drop that in anymore, Phil? You need to. You're Phil, producer Phil.
Yeah, I think we need to.
We need to bring back that drop anyway.
Yes.
All right.
I think because Jason would say so Cincinnati a lot, and so probably prompted it, and I don't say it as much.
That's when Phil was like new at the producer job. He was probably trying to like, you know, score some points. And now he's comfortable in his job. He's like on the phone while we're recording. He's not dropping in sound effects.
Look, Phil's like, I got this down.
Oh, no, here we go. Anyway, so you did something fun.
I did. I went to see Barry Manilow.
Yes.
At Heritage Bank Center.
Yes.
I
heard he's pretty good for, what is he, almost 90?
He's 80.
Okay.
I would not consider myself a Fanilo, which many people were wearing like Fanilo shirts. I do like him a lot, though. And like the music was on repeat in the house, and I was asked to turn it off at one point. But we had such a good time. But here is my two That's So Cincinnati moments from that experience. A, we need a new arena. Hello. The acoustics had, there was problems with some of the equipment during the concert. And it's just time.
It's just time.
Like going there just reminds you of that. No offense to it, because it's not like it's their fault. They can't just be like, oh, here's $200 million. We're fixing the arena. It's really up to the public here. It is a conversation that's happening. Needs to happen.
Oh, it needs to happen. You know, the newer stadiums we have, Paycor and Great American Ballpark, people are already talking about how now that they're in, you know, starting their third decade, that they're showing their age a little bit. They, you know, they're maintained beautifully and everything, but they're old enough now that people are actually talking about, well, you know, maybe we'll have a new football stadium soon, maybe, you know, renovations and things like that. But Heritage Bank Arena has 30 years plus on these two. I mean, it is an old facility.
Yeah, it's time.
It has served us well. I remember going to see Cincinnati Stinger hockey games when it was called Riverfront Coliseum way back in the day.
So, but that was the second moment, is that I have to give Barry Manilow some credit that he talked about his previous performances. He's played at Music Hall, the Coliseum. He was like name checking places that he played before, and people were cheering. It was a crowd that had definitely seen him before in Cincinnati. So he walked us down memory lane.
That's great. You know, for all the
people. It was 80 minutes. Furl was over at 9:10.
Well, I mean.
Then I went up to Mount Adams.
Oh, that's, and it was dead. Well, my moment's not that fun, but it's very Cincinnati. So without naming names, you know, part of my job is to talk to people in town, especially if they are have questions about stories we are doing or they're upset about stories that we're doing. You know,
that never happens with me. I know.
Oh, never. So I like to be accessible and have these conversations. Sometimes I get called, angry calls or concerned calls from people before we even write a story, just because the reporter has the audacity to like ask a question.
This does happen, you guys.
Oh my gosh. And so I was having one of those conversations today with a prominent person in town, and it went very well. This is a delightful person, very professional conversation. You know, we're both kind of explaining things from our perspectives and, you know, as far as those conversations go, very pleasant. You know, we came to a nice meeting in the middle and it's all good. And at the end of the conversation, this person said, "Hey, switching subjects completely. Guess what? my dad was your dentist back in the day, your family dentist. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I thought the name looked familiar.
Phil, what is that? Phil, that?
So Cincinnati.
Is so Cincinnati.
So Cincinnati, yeah. And I'm like, here, it, like, you just have to be very careful in this town because you know, if you never moved away, you're still here. If you moved away, you probably came back. There's just a lot of people, you know, generations connected. And it was just so fun thinking about, you know, my childhood dentist growing up. My parents loved this dentist so much that when my dad quasi-retired and went to work for the AMVETS, American Veterans, and this is after, you know, all the kids are out of the house, they're empty nesters, and my parents move again, and they end up in the D.C. area for a while my dad worked for the American Veterans. And they would plan their dental visits when they would come back to visit people in Cincinnati because they liked this dentist
they
so much.
They really liked him. Because you find that a lot with hairstylists. Like, oh, you go back to your town where you used to live and you would get your hair done by the same person. But you don't hear that a lot about dentists.
So can you imagine if our conversation went south?
Good thing you were nice.
I know, right? But anyway, I just had to laugh because that's not Cincinnati, I don't know what is.
I agree.
All right. Well, do we have a podcast, Sherry Coolidge?
Real quick, because we didn't talk about the burgers. Want people to vote for their favorite burger. Everyone does have one. Michelle has one, and it's a new one that we hadn't heard about. But you can go to Cincinnati.com. We're in the second round at the moment of voting for your favorite burger. We do a beer bracket, and that is a massive undertaking for us with all of our local beers and everything. But this is... Oh, and a little
These
bit of a smaller scale, but people are passionate. The comments.
It's reader engagement time. We want to know your vote for Cincinnati's favorite burger.
Agree.
All right.
All right, you guys. Happy Labor Day. We'll see you next week. We have another fun guest next week, and then we'll get serious again probably.
No, we're not going to get serious.
No? Okay.